when you try to seek the truth, you just can't stop on one aspect.
There's always more truth.
Yeah, there's always more to it. More than meets the eye. Yo, listen, big word halitosis, multiple scoliosis, Dr. Kill giving the rap dosage, postage, stamp, signed, sealed, delivered, distributed through the hood, motherfucker, what's good, exciting, unorthodox.
I am interviewing Mr. Marcus Alexander, and we're going to talk about, boundaries. Smacks lava outside of your face. I ain't trying to be rude, but do you food. So how are you doing, Mr. Marcus?
Well, I'm fine, Kabani. Nah, I'm good. What's good, man?
All right.
Good thing to break the ice. It's always good to break the ice.
Break the ice. Break the ice, okay. Where did you go to elementary school at?
Elementary school. I went to Spring Garden Elementary School in North Philadelphia.
Did you enjoy your time there?
Yeah, actually, I did. Always remember the songs that I used to sing there. I mean, it was pretty live,
What was your most enjoyable memory of school, elementary school?
Watching American Tale in the auditorium.
American Tale.
Yeah.
What is American Tale?
You know, that's with Fievel, the little mouse, the Russian mouse boy. That, yeah. Oh, okay.
Besides schooling life, how was your what was one of your earliest memories that you have of you and your family and being at home?
That would be when I used to celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
I mean, that's always good when you're a kid,
Yeah, it feels good inside.
Yeah, I remember one time me and my brother had walkie-talkies from the last Christmas. So what we would do is, probably about like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning when we know our mom was done, we would try to sneak downstairs because our room was right next to us. So we would have our walkie-talkies. Yeah. And I mean, when we go downstairs, and we would try to guess where the gifts was, and what type of gifts we had.
Right.
And we used the walkie-talkies, as communications and warnings if our mom was coming.
Wow.
That was hot.
That sounds like fun. What's your mother's name?
Charisse. Yeah, her name was Charisse Reynolds.
I heard she's a very loving woman.
She is.
Yes.
Hard at times, but she is. Hard. She was hard when we was growing up, but she's very loving, huh? Strict. Yeah, very strict. Very strict.
What was the worst thing that you did to get a loving consequence?
Loving? There's no
love consequence.
Oh, let me see. The worst thing that I did as a kid? I guess when I was lying to my mom about me going to school and I would steal food, her Murray's chicken and all that out the refrigerator, out the freezer, take it to my friend's house and we play cards and I would eat the grub and everything. I guess that was one of the worst things that I did, Yeah.
How did she show her affection towards that situation?
She hit me with a two-piece combo. That's how she showed it. That she was a little angry because I was missing school.
Did you have any siblings?
Yes. I have two brothers and two sisters.
Yeah, how was your relationship with them growing up?
Growing up, it was okay. I mean, I was more close to my sister than I was my brother.
Okay.
So, we had our good times and we had our bad times, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So, what was one of the bad times with your siblings?
When my sister stepped on my dad going Spider-Man action figure.
And she punched me in your feelings.
Yeah, but did she, man?
Well, you said you and your brother didn't, click as much as you and your sister. Was there a reason why?
Yeah, because he was the older brother and I was the younger brother.
Torture? He tortured you all the time?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty much torture, but it was like, it was that nagging little brother, I guess he would think.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He would want to do things and he would have to watch us because my mom was a single parent.
Okay.
So it's one of those types, He had to be forced to grow up a lot quicker than he, wanted to. And he wanted to do his own thing, but a lot of times he had to watch us. You know what I'm saying? And as a little brother, I admire my brother, so I always wanted to hang around with him. But sometimes that's not a good thing for the bigger brother because he wants to hang around his boys.
Right.
And he can't because he got the little boy with him.
Right. So you said that your mother's a single mother. How did you cope with that? Or were you just naive to it at the time?
I wasn't naive to it, but I was always taught onto why that that she was a single parent. But, she did the best that she could. There was nothing I could do with the situation. But as a child, we don't see it that way. So we would like to blame our parents for it, but I didn't see anything, to blame her for it because
she's trying her
best.
Right. Where was your father during your younger years?
I don't know. All over the map.
Did you ever have a contact with him at all?
No, I don't think I did. And I mean, that was one memory, but I mean, I don't know if that was him or not.
Okay.
But all right.
So, the household that you grew up in, how did that shape you into the man you are today?
I wanted to be everything my father was not. From all the stories that I heard, you know what I mean? And then the absence of him being absent, that was my biggest thing. Now that I have children, you know, and if I ever wanted children, I wouldn't abandon them or leave them like my dad. You know what I mean? I wanted to be everything he was not. Make sure that I don't do the same things that he did. But it shaped me to be a good man. At first, I was a knucklehead. You know what I mean? And then things happened. Went to the military. And it was a lot of factors in life, not just my home, that shaped me into the man that I am.
What made you go into the military?
What made me?
Yes.
Oh, because I got kicked out of my stepdad crib house. You know what I mean? Down in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Had nowhere to go. I was pretty much pushed, but I didn't see it as that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was something that was done in the background, but I was homeless. So I found the military as a way of escape.
When you returned from you said the military to you was an escape. When you returned from the military, did you feel like you were in bondage again, or did you feel like a new man, like a new spirit type thing?
Well, the military has its good and its bad. You know, it made me see that how pretty much precious life is, because I was infantry, so our life expectancy is about like 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to grow up, and it made me grow up. I mean, I attribute that to the military. I mean, so when I got out, I had a plan of going to school, you know what I mean, and trying to make the best, you know what I mean, of myself.
Now today, how do you live today? You're a father, you're a husband,
yeah,
and all
that. Yeah, I'm a father.
Right.
I have 6 kids, beautiful wife. I try to live my life the way God intended it to be.
Okay.
You know, I try to not break the moral laws. I mean, those are the laws that really keep God out of jail and out of trouble. Uh-huh. So I try to walk on that even keel, not too far to the left or to the right. The decisions that I make, I have to make sure that it doesn't affect my children or my family in a negative light.
What is your religion?
Well, I wouldn't put it as a religion. I follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of the ancient Hebrews. That's about it.
You can be classified as a minister, correct?
That is correct.
That's correct. Okay. How far does your knowledge of other religion and people and anything of that category vary? Like how?
Well, I started out as a Christian, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
By knowledge base, I started out as a Christian. Went to many different, as they would call it, denominations. You know what I mean? Because there's many different forms of Christianity, but it's all focused on one. They just learn different aspects. So what I try to do is educate myself. I try to learn other people's beliefs as well. Mm-hmm. Like the Quran, the Torah, King James Version Bible, Hinduism, Buddhism. You know, right now I read the Veda.
Okay, podcast ending question. Now, we all, or as far as I know, a lot of people have their own thoughts about heaven and things like that. Like, and my thought of heaven is it's our own personal heavens. Like, mine would be like my whole family at a barbecue, and we're all enjoying ourselves, and you know, we're acting as one. That's my personal thought. Like, that's how I think it is. What is your thought or how God has made our heaven?
My feeling is I would like to go back to the land that was given to our fathers. That was promised land. You know, Martin Luther King said it best when he said he looked over the top of the mountain and he seen the promised land.
Right.
I mean, so I would like to go back to the land that was given to our forefathers and be at peace, have my lot, you know, and have my family there and worshiping the God whom I serve. You know, but sometimes we can't always get what we want, right?
That's true. That's true.
So,
well, I would like to thank you for taking your time out and helping me with this interview. You shared a lot of knowledge and a lot of things, and thank you.
You're welcome.
We out.
Loud,
quiet. Tommy G. Yeah, what up? Hey, yo, listen. Big word halitosis, multiple scoliosis, Dr. Kill giving the rap dosage, postage, stamp signed, sealed, delivered, distributed through the hood, mother, what's good, exciting, unorthodox, biting, ought to stop fighting.